afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Christy Stratton.
And I'm Murray Valeriano. What's up?
And this is round two, because that thing that's happened in the past, folks, where we record for 15 or 20 minutes and then we go, I don't think we're recording.
It's not a Rock Solid recording unless we have to go back and record again.
Unless we do
again.
It twice.
Yeah. That's what I've known and grown to love about this show.
Known and grown to love. So, Christy, you came in and you said that you were talking earlier about this new Dennis Leary show.
Yes, Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. Right. It's on FX. And I thumbs up. It's a thumbs up. There's some things that are to be not liked about it.
Sure.
Namely, the title is horrendous.
Yeah, it's Sex, bad. Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
It's unfortunate. Another thing not to like is that his character's name is Johnny Rock.
Oh. That's supposed to be like Johnny Rotten, right?
I guess. The other thing not to like, that is his guitarist's name is Flash.
Okay, can I ask, why do you think that when they were writing this that they chose to do that? Did they do that on purpose? Did they think that they couldn't have said...
No. It's just him.
Okay, he couldn't have said, you know what, I'm going to be Johnny Rock. Because no writer in their right mind would really choose that.
Or you do that, and then some people around you say, oh, you can't do Johnny Rock. You have to do something that's a little bit more...
And he goes, nah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
That's like Johnny Utah from... what was that Patrick Swayze surf movie?
Point Break.
Johnny Utah.
It just sounds... Oh, but that sounds...
Johnny is anything, except unless it's a little boy.
But I mean,
thank you.
But I mean, if the movie took place in Utah, then yes, that wouldn't be good. This is a movie about rock and roll, and then he's naming a show about rock and roll.
Well, it's actually... And it does use the trope of like, what? I'm hitting on this girl, and she's my daughter. But once you get past that, and that's very early on, it's actually quite winning. Like, I can't help but... actually like it. Mm-hmm. He is
it's a
star.
Half hour?
Yeah, it's a half hour.
Okay.
And the girl is got some pipes, and the songs aren't bad. They're actually kind of good. And I got to tell you, I'm wondering what's going to happen next, even though there's a storyline with the 20-year-old that's, a possible affair with Flash, played by John Corbett, who's 50-something.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
So
but
if you can get over
that.
Yes. Now, except, as we said earlier, we're in a bitter feud, Corbett and I.
Right.
I don't know at what point or what I have done. Maybe just, this is, as far as I know, has blocked me on Twitter.
So
John Corbett.
The actor John Corbett
blocked Christy Stratton on Twitter.
Yes. Now, I was, like, when I started getting into the show, I was like looking up people, and I also, as a writer, I was writing something that I used him as a template. So I had kind of been looking up all the cast and looking up this and looking up that. So I just happened to stumble upon, and I'm like, maybe he's blocking everyone, not just me. And then I have some of my friends follow him, and they're like, nope. I can follow him.
And you're a fan of his.
I just don't know what I did, because I never tweet. I never tweet at anyone.
Right.
Like, I don't do what you do, which is call someone a dum-dum.
No, I just,
like, hey,
I just
so-and-so,
tweeted at Dennis Leary and said, hey, Johnny Rock, fuck yourself.
Okay. I don't do that.
No.
And I don't tweet any kind of political nonsense. I am just like, every now and then something will hit me and I'll tweet.
And it's funny and you tweet.
I did tweet, like, I was really anti-Whoopi Goldberg when she was with Bill Cosby, but now that she's kind of back on Team Gets It, I kind of recanted.
Team Gets It.
I'm really, you guys, and I'm this person that
maybe,
I care. Like, I don't know what I have done to John Corbett to start this bitter feud.
Why does Whoopi defend so many, like, Mel Gibson's great and Bill Cosby's great and I love Hitler? I mean, she's always like, she's always like team person everyone hates.
I don't know, but I'm very saddened by this because...
Yeah.
I mean, I like him. I've never, I don't know.
You know what they say? Never follow your heroes on Twitter.
Yeah, is that true?
I
stopped following you.
I think, I'm glad I'm somebody's hero.
Well, that's so strange.
I can't even find John Corbett on Twitter.
It's at Real, or The Real John Corbett.
All right, I don't like him already.
So do you, so you give Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll a hearty thumbs up?
I say quasi thumbs up because they did do an episode where they went to a therapist and it did nothing to advance the story. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of just watching, not that they're not all funny, because I have to say it's a good cast. It's a good cast. Yeah. The guy who plays Flash is John Corbett. Mm-hmm. Then there's Bam Bam and Rehab, the bass player.
The bass player's name is Rehab.
Yes.
Who named
Dennis
these characters?
Dennis Leary.
Now, let me tell you something. Dennis Leary's daughters?
Now, let me tell you something. If you go to Guns N' Roses and there's a guy called Axl Rose and there's a guy named Duff and Slash and Izzy and Dizzy. I mean, if that's what he was going for,
I think he
went a little bit too far in trying to hit it. You know what I mean?
But I do think when you're doing rock and roll and film and television, it's hard to not be cartoonish. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah.
No one's done it. Not even Almost Famous.
Not
because Almost Famous was a little bit cartoonish.
Oh, it's very cartoonish.
Is it because it's hard? It's hard. But I have to tell you, I didn't watch any of the firefighting shows, and I did like Dennis Leary in the 90s, but you love him in this.
Well, I mean, he's got something because he's successful in front and behind the cameras, and you know, so I mean, he's doing something right.
Yeah.
Do you like him, Pat?
I don't like Dennis Leary, but I'm also a person that will always say, look, I don't like that guy at all, but I get it. I get why people would listen. I understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. You know, you can't.
I look at it this way. He doesn't need me as a fan.
No. Yeah, I mean,
he's doing all right without Namur's support.
I mean, he's, he had that I don't even know what that firefighter show was called.
He's had a couple firefighting shows, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's Rescue Me.
Rescue Me is the
one. But then there was one, wasn't Sirens? Didn't he produce that?
Maybe. I think his background is a lot of his uncles and people in his family were firefighters.
Yes.
And I think were 9/11 responders and
absolutely.
All that.
Absolutely.
What was the firefighter movie, TV show where he was Johnny Firefighter? Was that? I can't remember.
Yeah, what are we, and this is a, this, that's so stupid. Yeah. If all the people in that thing were like, this is Frank Hose.
Yeah.
You know, this is Bob Extending Ladder.
Oh, we also talked about, by the way, because I really can't
Hook
wait to
ladder,
get to the disco.
Hook and Ladder, the twins.
We're going to get right to the episode.
I can't wait to get to disco.
David Wilde.
Yes, David Wilde.
He just
by
listed.
By the way, can I just mention something real quick? I'm sorry.
Yes,
the
please.
Reason I'm actually here is because I have to stop Pat and David Wilde from creeping on Christy Stratton. Come on. Seriously.
Today, look, she
commenting
wore,
on her legs.
Today, Christy couldn't
who
be.
If not them, who?
She couldn't be more covered up today.
I'm wearing my Zumu.
I would, too, if
she,
I was coming I
know,
around you and thought
like,
I was going to be
like,
locked
Gary,
in an office with you.
She's like, what's the least sexual thing I could wear? And he threw her a sack. And
well,
that's what
it's my Rachel Zoe maxi dress that I sometimes wear to the zoo, so he calls it my Zumu.
I said she looked like she belonged in the Polyphonic Spree.
But there's no, like. What
beginning
do I want to say?
Or no end? It
no,
just
it's like, and
flows.
It's like there's no, and there's no. It, you can't get a sense of your figure at all
Not
in this thing
at all.
Lord.
It's you know, I'm gonna say Maude is more shapely.
Oh yes,
and you're into it.
I'm into it already.
Right. Yeah, you are.
David Wilde wrote.
David Wilde, who CNN has this wonderful the 70s.
Sure. They're going to do the 80s next.
I know. I was so excited. I'm like, if they don't mention the Cars, then I'm going to go, you know, Hulk.
I would love a researcher's job on that show, David.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, so he, on his Facebook or out in social media land, posted the top 10.
It was CNN Online. He wrote an article.
His top 10 albums of the 70s. And guess who was not on it?
The Cars.
Correct. And I am so over people not acknowledging. And this is what I think. I think that in any business, be it film, television, music, you have to fit into a certain genre to get recognized. And for them, they were new wave, they were rock, they were, and so they couldn't, or they're not just the songwriters, or they're not just the, like in the 70s when they showed the new wave, they showed like Devo or Blondie and great, but none of those people sold records like the Cars did. And so I think that because, I don't know, they were
commercially successful that they get put to the side.
Or they were just kind of in between genres.
It could be. I mean, because if you listen to, and I'm looking at their debut album, which has Good Times Roll, My
Never
Best Friend's
it.
Girl, Just What I Needed.
Nothing.
You're All I Got Tonight, Bye Bye Love, Moving in Stereo, All Mixed Up. I know every one of those songs except one, and I'm not a huge Cars fan.
Yeah.
But that's
exactly.
a solid.
That's what
right?
I mean.
That is a solid debut album.
If you, people can name Cars songs. You say, give me a top three Cars songs. People are going to be like, oh, you know, You Might Think, Magic,
right.
Best Friend's Girl, whatever.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you can't name more than four songs by her.
Pat can.
Well, I can, but I agree with her that the car should be in before Joan Jett. Lots of people should be in for Joan Jett before Joan Jett. But then as a woman, you kind of have to. There needs to be more women in there too, and you know.
Well, yes. That's
and
a whole
still,
other thing.
She's still
Benjamin
going
Moore
strong.
Looked like a woman.
Still,
oh, he was just dreamy.
Was he dreamy?
Wasn't he? Oh, dreamy. And then that voice. I'm going to pick on Blood on the Tracks.
Okay,
that's where I'm going to
pick on. I have
a
list up in front of us.
And this is, yeah,
okay,
it's the 10 70s albums that can still rock your world.
All right.
Songs in the Key of Life. Stevie Wonder.
No argument there.
Rocket to Russia, the Ramones.
Yes.
Really, though?
What?
It's a good album.
It's a great album.
I don't know it, but I'm guessing all of those songs sound like each other. I'm not dissing the Ramones and what they did for culture. I'm just saying, most of those songs sound like each other. Go on.
All right. I'm sorry. I scrolled down looking ahead.
What's going on, Marvin Gaye?
What's going on, Marvin Gaye?
Won't argue that.
All right.
Blood on the Tracks.
That one I'll argue. And here's why. There are some masterpieces on that album. And there is filler. That Jack of Hearts, whatever. It's just noise. Mm-hmm. And the cars is so tight and so there's nothing. There's not even time between the songs. Like it's okay. Go on.
And I'll argue the next one because
hold on. I'm looking up Blood in the Tracks. Did we pass that already?
We did. But I'm going to argue the next one is the Jackson 5 Greatest Hits. And you cannot put a greatest
hits
album on this.
No. If you do, then guess what? You put Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. Or
you
hello.
Put, or you put the Cars debut.
Or the
that
Grease,
has three
or the
solid
Grease
hits.
Soundtrack.
But yeah, you can, I don't know. I don't think you can put a greatest hits. I think that's a cheat.
No, I agree.
If the Jackson 5 has had a great album that had like five hits on it, like Thriller, you know, if this was an 80s thing and you put Thriller on, and I don't even like Michael Jackson, I'd say okay.
Agreed.
Damn the Torpedoes, I highly agree with.
Of course.
Yeah, well, still better than the Cars? I won't argue that it belongs there. But go on.
Well, here's
I have to choose between Damn the Torpedoes and the Cars, Damn the Torpedoes is like
okay,
really important.
Okay, and I don't. I'm
me.
Not. Okay.
Although that's not bad. Refugee. Here Comes My Girl. Even the Losers.
It's not
don't
bad.
Do me
it's
like
wonderful.
That.
It's wonderful. It just is. It leaps and bounds over
I would
the
take
Cars.
The Cars
no.
over that one, though. I think not to suck up to Christy.
And Easter by Patti Smith.
I can't get into her. I can't. I can't.
This year's Model by Elvis Costello. That's pretty
excellent.
Solid. Physical Graffiti, which I think is a better single album than a double. And I'm actually what album am I listening to today, Murray? You saw it over there.
Physical Graffiti.
Right, because I'm like, well, I'm going to listen to this again to make sure that I'm right. And so far, I am.
Are you right? I love that album.
In my opinion. And then Bad
Christy and I love that album.
Bad Girls by Donna Summer.
I won't argue that one either. Yeah. I actually brought something from that.
I've never listened to it.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I brought a deep cut from that.
Oh, okay.
So
oh, cool.
You'll get to hear a little bit.
And then you have Blood on the Tracks. You have the track listing brought up.
Yeah, I do have the track listing brought up. Tangled Up in Blues.
Great.
Simple Twist of Fate. You're a Big Girl Now. Mm. Idiot Wind. Come on. You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You Go.
Great.
Excellent. Meet Me in the Morning.
Great.
I'm familiar with. I'll have to go back and listen
to that. Wonderful.
Lily Rosemary and the Jack of Hearts is
the
one you do not
boo.
Like.
You don't like that at
boo.
All.
Boo. It sinks it.
If You See Her, Say Hello. Shelter from the Storm. Buckets of Rain. It's a good album, man.
It's got filler.
But I mean, it's a really hard to pick 10 albums from the 70s. Because you could argue the debut Boston album.
Yes.
I mean, you could. It still sounds
you could
great.
If you were Pat Francis.
No, there were so many great debut albums in the 70s. I mean, you know, Foreigner. You know, I could argue why isn't Cheap Trick at Budokan on here? Why isn't there's not a Fleetwood Mac album on here? Rumors isn't on here.
True.
Wow, Rumors.
There's not a Who album on here. There's not Hotel California by the Eagles is a pretty great album.
Yeah,
I mean, so
all right.
Is hard to put together.
Okay.
So
fine.
And besides, what does David Wilde know? Three fucking idiots sitting around telling one of our favorite music critics and writers what he did wrong.
And maybe if we read the article,
two idiots and one lovely woman in a movie.
You know, it is so hard to put together a list like that, and it's all personal.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
You're right.
That's true.
All personal.
I mean,
how many?
Like I was just talking to Pat Francis about this U2 album. It was a bootleg back in the 90s, and I don't like bootlegs. I don't listen to live albums a lot, but I got a copy of it and it would like right at the perfect time in my life when I needed it. And I listened to it nonstop for like 6 years until I lost it. But then I refound it.
It is interesting when things hit you. Like I think when I tried to get into Patti Smith, like I couldn't, like I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. And I think when I want like the time that you two, it hit me and the message and whatever. It's all about when you gain access to that and what it, and I was talking to someone yesterday because Bruce Springsteen, scene, and those songs meant so much to me.
I would rather hear Born to Run than Blood on the Tracks any day
of
the week.
Right. But someone, a friend who's around my age, maybe a little bit younger.
How old would that be? I'm kidding.
40s?
I'm kidding.
Young 40s?
I'm making a joke because women don't like to tell their ages.
Hey, you know what? The terrorists win if I don't say my age. So I'm 45. I'll be 46 in October.
What? Don't even believe that.
Well, but she's a little bit younger. But Bruce, like, his message somehow didn't at that time, didn't hit her at the... Mm-hmm. And, but she, yet she works in music. She knows very... Anyway, it's just interesting how that timing is everything in that.
I think I'd rather listen to Blood on the Tracks than Born to Run. But I haven't really sat down and listened to Born to Run a lot.
Well, stop making a mustache out of your microphone
Let's
cord.
Get into the disco. I'm so excited.
Okay. I've got a mustache for the disco era.
Christy, you picked this episode. This was your, you picked this disco.
I did.
Yeah. Mm. And this was so much fun. This was maybe the most fun I had because I have tons of disco music in my iTunes, but it's not something that I go to.
Right.
But man, I was at the kitchen table yesterday morning. We were all having breakfast and I had my computer there because that's what you do when you ignore your children. No, but I was just playing these and Pilar was making pancakes and she was like, disco really means a lot to her because her parents were big into the disco era.
Okay.
Back then.
Okay.
So they were like, she relates that with them dancing in the living room and going out to Studio 54. They went. So,
wow.
So it was really fun. These songs were really great. And they hold up in a weird way.
Because the all the instruments and the arrangement and all, it's just awesome.
And because these were real musicians playing it wasn't push a button and a drum machine and all that kind of stuff. That I know. And the vocals and women are dominating the disco era.
Hi.
I think more than any other time until now. I think now there's a lot of great female artists for young people to hear.
Yes.
You know, St. Vincent, and I know you don't like Taylor Swift, but Taylor Swift,
Saint
a lot of...
Vincent.
I do not.
That's the one you pull?
Well, yeah, there's a lot.
What about Cher Lloyd, your favorite?
Marina and the Diamonds and Florence and the Machine. I mean,
I
think
love
there's
Florence and the Machine.
And Sia. I mean, I think there's a lot of great women right now, but back then, women dominated this.
So much so.
I mean, and when we play these songs vocally, these women are hitting it out of the park.
Absolutely. You know? Do I get to start? Or are you going to start?
No, you know what? I don't. I erased all your songs. No. Yeah, well, you will start. You're our third voice because Kyle can't be here today. And I always think you could do it with just two people sitting across from each other. And we've done it before. But I do like when there's a third voice in there.
Yes.
And I really needed to get a Christy episode out there because the lovely ladies of Rock Solid, I don't think, have been.
I'm waiting for that calendar. When is that? When is the lovely ladies of Rock Solid calendar coming out?
It'll be great. Who's in it? Kyle. Christy
my thighs are in it. I have very feminine thighs.
If I call you and Siegel, you guys are like, yeah, I'm there. When do you want to do it? I can do it right now.
Mike Siegel, a finalist in Last Comic Standing.
Oh, yeah,
can we all
great.
Just say
yeah,
that?
There's a great
I mean,
set.
A semi. Like, yeah, he's yeah. But he moved on to the next round.
Yes, he did.
Anyway, I just wanted to say that,
and not because of his looks. His jokes were good.
Yeah,
he had a solid set.
Can
we just say why I'm here? Also,
because you're the third voice and you don't know anything about disco.
Zilch. About disco. Okay. And I'm not like disco sucks and anti-disco and all that. And I hate gay people or anything like that.
I don't know why that's anything to do with it.
I just want to clear up a few rumors while I'm on a roll. Right. But I just missed that era. I just completely missed that era. I've got nothing against it. And so when I went and just grabbed like the handful of songs that I know and I like, I was like, oh, this is awesome.
And
so I'm excited to learn something today.
All right.
It is your parents that like, because that, you know, as a kid, you don't have a lot of control over what you, so my mom definitely, and she took me, well, I'll get to that. I'm going to start with Cheryl Lynn. This gal, BT Dubs, the song is called Got to Be Real, and she co-wrote this with David Foster and a guy from Toto named David Page.
David Page.
Yeah. So let's go. Let's play it.
And I also had this song on my list.
Oh, good. It's so good.
What's it called? Oh, okay.
Got to Be Real.
Yeah.
I knew there'd be a dance party.
I can't not.
What's love?
Coincidentally, and I didn't know this, she was on The Gong Show.
Oh, really?
What?
And she got a perfect 30, but then so did a juggler. And oh, they God. Did, I don't know what they did for final whatever, but the juggler won. But still, I don't know if it was Ahmet Erdogan or somebody, one of those people.
Big moguls.
Yeah. Found her, and that's how she got her start. Oh, the Gong cool. Show against a juggler.
Trying to find out who played on. I bet members of Toto played on this too, because they were big session musicians. Let me see if it says. Paige plays keyboards. Ray Parker Jr. played. It was the session guitarist.
All right.
And that's. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Paige and David Foster. Were,
I didn't either until
because they need more money. So I mean, I'm glad they got a little kickback from this. So that was on my list too. That's a great great song.
Cheryl Lynn.
Mm-hmm. Murray, do you want to jump in now, or do you want to wait before you start?
Well, I'm going to can I throw in my first favorite disco song, because I'm sure it's probably on somebody's list.
Okay.
And again, I know nothing about disco. That's why I didn't do any research on any of the songs. I just grabbed them off iTunes because I was looking for.
Were these
to...
in the correct order? Is that what you want? Is that what you want to play first? Which one is it? That one?
No. Number three. The only thing I do know about this is the lead singer Errol Brown died, I think, this past year.
Oh boy.
And this is Hot Chocolate with You Sexy Thing.
Oh yes.
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Altoona.
Since you came along, you sex a thing.
Give me the finger when you want me to pop
it down. I'm kind of digging it.
All right.
Where did you come from, baby?
I think I like this. One of the things I realized that I didn't like about disco is I like a lot of guitar. I like guitars. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of like distorted or heavy. There's a lot of wah pedals and that stuff. I love that stuff too. But I think maybe one of the reasons I gravitated to that is because of that little distorted guitar riff in there.
I'd like to give some disco trivia as we go along.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, yeah, great.
Disco, short for discotheque.
What?
Short for discotheque.
All right.
How about that?
With a Q.
How about that?
Discotheque.
I'm going on Wikipedia here. It says the disco sound has soaring vocals over a steady four on the floor beat, an eighth note or 16th note, hi hat pattern, open hi hat, all this kind of stuff.
Did anybody find the first official disco song? Has anything ever been like this is the first official? I looked and I couldn't find anything.
No, I have what is considered the first disco group.
Okay, that'll be something.
All right. But
cool. Mm. This was 79 was really the year, though.
Well,
I mean, it bled over into the 80s.
It started in 76. From what I read and gathered, because again, I don't remember when I'm a child, is that when Saturday Night Fever came, it gave it a resurgence. In other words, it was on its way out, and then
boom.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And Saturday Night Fever would have been 77.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But pretty sure. But
78.
But most of the songs I picked were from 70. It seems like 79 for some reason was like crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, when I was putting my list together, this was the absolute first song that came to my mind.
Ah! Please don't talk
about love tonight. It's Alicia Bridges. Don't
talk about I don't think I know this. Love.
You'll know it. I love how she says action. I want to get some too. I love the nightlife. I've got to forget on the disco ride. Guys, the next time you're out with your lady, when it gets to be late in the evening and you've had a couple of wines and you want to look right at her and say, you want to get some action?
I think it would be a couple of rosés, wouldn't it?
For me, it would be a couple of rosés.
What were you drinking in 79? Rosés? Probably maybe a sparkling?
I was in ninth grade. I didn't drink until I was in college.
I meant the overall you. Like, what are they?
Wine cooler?
Maybe. Yeah,
probably. Okay. I didn't drink until I was in college. I think I had...
Really?
One prom...
You were a lot of fun in high school then.
I know. 11th grade prom, someone brought a bottle of champagne into the limo, and I had to drink of it, and I swore I was going to be sent to jail. I remember telling my parents, someone brought champagne, and we had some champagne. My mom was like, that's fine. You weren't driving. It's fine. Aww. Don't worry about it. So, Christy, what's your next song?
Okay, this is what is credited as the first disco band ever.
Excellent. I'm excited to hear this.
And it is the first of some songs I've got from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. And this is The Tramps with the 8-minute-plus Disco Inferno.
Oh, right on.
It says 10 minutes, 53 seconds.
Oh, okay.
But I guess that's 8 minutes-plus.
Dude, when you're high on coke, man, you can go all the way in 10 minutes. It's nothing.
I mean, come on. How can you not move?
Was there an edited version of this that they played on the radio? There had to be.
I'm sure.
Those horns.
I know, it's great.
To my surprise, this 100 stories high.
I can listen to this all day.
Keep it on. I'm enjoying this.
Okay, good. Right?
This is just so much fun.
I know.
Why isn't there a disco station? Well, there probably is one.
It's got to be one on Sirius. Yeah. Now, how many did the Tramps have a lot of hits? Because I know them.
Fair use, we play at 1:25.
Oh, gosh.
Go buy that so we don't get in trouble.
Suck it, fair use.
Yeah, oh, by the way, that was originally released in 76.
Okay.
And then included on the soundtrack in 78.
Happy, and just think how much money they made by having it on that soundtrack. I mean, it's crazy. Soundtrack
the Tramps, T-R-A-M-M-P-S.
Oh, two M's?
Yeah.
Two M's, yeah.
I think they did have a couple other songs.
They had to have.
That's a great. That's just.
It's just.
I went when I hear these songs, I go for some reason since I'm not that familiar with them, I go right to the movie. So I go right to that Boogie Nights when they're dancing to it.
And
so since you don't have that many, can we skip you?
Yeah, man. I'm just here to get away.
I'll go.
Life.
And Christy, this is another song I have to take off my list because I also had Disco Inferno.
Oh, it's so.
So yeah, I had my version is three minutes and 34 seconds. So that must be the edit. That's boring. 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You need the 10-minute version. These are another band that still is around today, still touring. Still headlining the sheds in the summer. This is a little Earth, Wind, and Fire, and we are going to go with Boogie Wonderland.
Oh!
As good as that song is, Disco Inferno blows that out of the water.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was not feeling that tune at all, man. Let's listen to Disco Inferno again.
When I'm putting my list together, you don't think that this is going to play after Disco Inferno, and Disco Inferno kicks ass.
That bass line. And there's certain ones of these disco songs that do have the horns and the bass. I've got another one coming up with that. And it's just that, it just gets you. It's there.
I agree.
Earth, Wind, and Fire gave us the great Philip Bailey.
Yes, they did.
And without them, they wouldn't have that great Philip Bailey, Phil Collins.
Thank you, Maria.
Right. What is that song? Oh, my gosh.
I told you I know nothing about disco.
Easy Lover.
Oh,
Easy
I love Lover. That song. I actually like that very much. Going back to another lovely lady of disco, my next song. Are you ready?
Yeah, but I you're going to have to tell me because the next song is not a lovely lady. But that's okay. You
is
just
it,
tell me.
Is it an ugly
it
one?
Starts with the word don't.
Yeah, this is a dude, though. That
oh, no, no, no. You know what? For some reason, it just says George Benson, but it's not.
Okay.
this song was originally, and I found this out recently, was originally recorded by Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes, and Teddy Pendergrass sang it. But this version was supposed to be sung by Diana Ross as a follow-up to Love Hangover.
Okay.
But they assigned it to Thelma Houston.
Yes.
And it's Don't Leave Me This Way.
That bass.
Your tender kiss. Don't leave me this way. Honestly, I keep forgetting to. I have to tell to turn them down because
all of these songs you want to listen to the whole way through, and that's because they're great songs.
Yes.
Now, the reason I brought 20 songs today, this is why I brought 20 songs, is because your first three were all on my list.
Okay, good.
So,
now Thelma Houston, she was part of Dawn, Tony Orlando and Dawn.
No, that was Hopkins, I believe.
Really?
Or I could be wrong.
All right, let's look it up.
You look it up.
Look it up.
Is she related to Whitney Houston? Thelma Houston.
You know, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't think so.
If it's the person I'm thinking of, she was also. I could be wrong.
And it's pronounced Thelma.
Is it?
Yeah.
In the Tony Orlando and Dawn version,
yes. Thelma.
Oh, all right. Oh, it is Thelma Houston.
Oh, it is. So she was in Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And also on Bosom Buddies.
Wait, are you sure that's the same
one? Am I confusing everybody?
I think.
Is there two different Thelma Houstons?
There could be.
You know what? That's so funny. Maybe
And maybe Andrew Rich, who does the show notes, maybe he'll work that out for us.
Yeah. I could be wrong. I just thought that there was
a variety show. I don't know if it's the same Thelma.
It could be.
What?
I didn't. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And you know what? Maybe it is. Let's just say it is.
It sounds fun.
It does sound fun.
All right.
And it could be.
It could be. Well, I'm just here to talk. So you guys play and I'll... Right.
Well, back in the disco era, everyone, all the artists, if they weren't a disco artist, they would want to throw their hat into this ring at some point or another.
Mm-hmm. And I figured you'd bring this.
You don't know why. You don't even know what this...
I have a guess.
Okay. Well, this woman threw her hat in...
No, I didn't.
See? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
This woman threw her hat into the ring and this is... this woman's still going strong. You'll know as soon as she starts singing.
Take me home.
Oh, yeah.
Take me home. Wanna feel you close to me.
Who's this?
Take me
Cher.
Home.
Cher.
Take me home. With you is where I wanna be. Grabbed in your arms tonight. Just making
wearing like a Princess Leia type bikini outfit on the cover of this album. Have you ever seen the cover of this?
No.
I love Cher so much.
I love Cher too.
Cher
I do.
So
I love, love.
Here, take a look at see what
oh,
you're
yes.
Wearing?
You're right. I have. See I do that? Recognize that image.
Oh, like of course.
But then it wouldn't be unlike her to wear that on the red carpet too back then.
Yeah.
Such a huge fan of Cher's. I have some information.
Okay.
Oh, good.
You finally have the real information for us?
Just reassuring the fact that I know nothing about disco. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even close. It's not even Thelma Hopkins and Dawn. It's Thelma.
I said Thelma.
You're right. And Thelma Houston was somebody else.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Right, Thelma Houston was in Bosom Buddies, not Thelma Hopkins.
All right.
Who was in Thelma and Louise? Which Thelma was that?
That was Thelma Hopkins.
Oh, okay.
Okay, my next song is by a man named Sylvester.
Stallone?
No, Sylvester Hopkins. James, who I, again, as a kid, you don't know, but I look up.
Yeah.
A pioneering member of the trans community.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a disco band?
Okay, so wait a minute.
Yes.
When this song came out, was he...
78.
Was he a man?
Sylvester was still the name, okay. But the clothes and things, and, you know, just from, again, I don't know, I'm just looking up and reading,
sure.
I don't know, but, and, you know, yes.
So you don't know at the time of this recording, and I'm not trying to be funny, this is just the way I'm putting it, you don't know if Sylvester at the time of this recording was a Bruce or a Caitlin.
I think that he still called himself Bruce and identified, mm-hmm. but was a drag queen.
Okay.
That's what I, right? I mean, I think that, I mean, that's okay to say, or he would have identified himself as a drag queen.
We're using 70s terms, and that was what we said
yes,
then.
Yes. And this is You Make Me Feel Mighty Real.
I don't think I know this song. Wow.
I know, right? It's so good.
Amazing drummers. Have you ever heard this, Mark? Because I have never heard this.
I've heard Sylvester, the name Sylvester, but I haven't heard that. I caught the tail end of it. I just had to run and pee.
TMI. I do not have that on my list. Mm. That's a good one.
Okay.
Sylvester.
Yes. 1978.
1978. I have one from 76.
Yeah.
This is another lady with strong vocal.
Ooh.
Let's hear a little bit of Vicky Sue Robinson.
Uh-huh.
Let's turn this beat around.
Turn the beat around. Love to hear percussion. Turn it upside down. Love to hear percussion. Love to hear it. Your heart is just so pretty. Your violins keep moving to the next.
These disco songs are very meta because they're singing about dancing.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yes.
So it's
right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Murray, before we go to Christy again, let's let you jump in. With
okay.
One more.
You talked earlier about Cher getting into the disco scene. The disco was a long-reaching arm on the Kiss on the Kiss episode. You guys talked about what's the disco Kiss song?
The disco Kiss song was
I was made for loving you.
Yeah.
It reached so far.
You mean this one? Is this what we're talking about, folks?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. I like that you had that. Did you bring that?
Yes, I did. It was way down at the bottom of my list, though.
Well, this wasn't the one I was talking. This isn't what I brought. But it also reached the Grateful Dead.
Ooh.
Had an influence on the Grateful Dead. And do you have my list up?
I do. Let's do
it. This is the title track off Shakedown Street.
I don't know this.
I would have never thought this was the Grateful Dead.
Street is dark.
1978.
Yep.
Grateful Dead. Shakedown Street.
And of course, you know, the Rolling Stones had Miss You.
Right.
And
I thought you would bring that.
And I listened to it. It just, it has the flavor, but it wasn't,
it's not really,
wasn't quite.
Yeah.
Emotional Rescue, I think, might be more, a little bit more for me. Maybe disco-y too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, everyone was putting their.
Did they play that when we saw them? When we went down to see them at the Staples Center?
Oh, we didn't get in.
Oh, right. We didn't get in?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No.
Wait, what happened? What happened?
We went down and the tickets were too expensive for me. And I'm like, I'm not paying $250.
It was like $250 after the show started.
Yeah, it was so still $250.
Or before the show started. I'm like, when the show starts and it's not sold out, they'll go down.
They'll
what
go
did
down.
They do?
They went up.
To $400.
To $400. So I'm like, if I couldn't do $250, I certainly can't do.
Wow.
I just couldn't come home and be, and Pilar was like, did you get in? Yeah. How, you know, and when I came home and said we didn't go because the tickets were $250, she didn't say, oh, you should have gone in. She said, nah, good call.
Really? My wife was like, you went all the way down there and didn't do it?
Didn't you hang with your buddies and have a nice meal?
I did hang with my buddies and have a nice meal. And I bought my lovely wife a t-shirt that she fucking hated.
Oh my God. He buys her this Mick Jagger
like
t-shirt.
$45, $50. It's a Stone, so their merch is pretty
pricey.
Yeah.
It's a ladies cut.
And my wife's got a lovely figure.
And she hated it. And
sat on our washing machine for like a year.
And he was like, well, maybe she'll just use it as one of her sleeping t-shirts.
Yeah.
Nope, wouldn't even do that.
Nope, wouldn't even do it. I think we ended up giving it away on Rock Solid.
Gave it away to some listener.
That's hysterical.
Christy, you're up. What do you got?
Well, mine has a little story with it. And they actually told this story, I think, on the 70s, because I've heard it and then I read it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards of the band Chic, one night in the late 70s, went to Studio 54 to meet Grace Jones, and they did not get in. The doorman turned them away.
Who were they meeting? Chris?
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones. Grace. I thought you said Chris Jones. I'm like, I don't know who that is.
I love that guy, okay, Grace Jones.
And so they went back and wrote this song, which was originally Freak Off.
Right, right.
Was the term, but they made it, you know,
more accessible.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know they were going to meet. I knew the story, but I didn't know they were going to meet Grace Jones.
I didn't know that either.
That's great.
La Freak.
Yes.
By the way, I love that line. Allow us. We'll show you the way. It's very genteel. Allow us. Don't be an ass like the doorman was to us. Anyway.
I love those interviews with Steve Rubell, who started Studio 54. He's like, I don't know why everybody's complaining. I wouldn't let myself in if I was coming to this club.
Apparently, that was the best-selling single in Warner Music history until Madonna's Vogue in 1990.
And Nile Rodgers worked with Madonna on her second album. What was it called? Like a Virgin. Duh. Mm. Yeah, he produced it.
And the Vogue dance move was going out of style until she did it and brought it back.
Oh, interesting.
Well, doesn't she have a great voice?
Are you dissing Madonna?
He loves Madonna. I think Madonna.
I like early Madonna. I don't like so much new
Like
Madonna.
A Prayer? Oh.
Oh, I love Like a Prayer.
Yeah, I know. That's really good.
That's my favorite Madonna song.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite Madonna song.
I love up to like Music. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Yes, I agree with you too. And then after that, and there's been like four albums
after
that.
But you know
what?
To be fair, I don't know them, so I can't really diss them. But I do, you know.
My favorite is Holiday, Madonna's Holiday, but the live version off the Truth or Dare movie.
Oh.
That version's neat.
It's exactly how I described it.
No, that was being Kevin Costner from Truth or Dare movie.
Oh.
He says her concert's neat. You don't remember that? It's like a famous part of the movie,
really?
The documentary. He comes in and he goes, we really enjoyed your show. It was neat. And then he leaves and she's just like, just thumbs down, dork.
Go be vague in your acting.
No, it's not vague, it's Vogue.
Oh.
Oh.
Vague. Well, how come Weird Al didn't do Vague?
It sounds perfect.
Right?
Right.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Because nobody thought of it till now. What are we doing wasting our time? Let's go write it.
Here's another gentleman who dipped his foot into the disco era music. I'm not even going to tell you who this is. I'm curious as to what you guys think of this. Oops. That's, nope. That's why I don't produce this.
It's like a little derivative. Oh, wait, it's an actor.
He's a teen heartthrob.
Not Donny Osmond.
Leif Garrett.
Leif Garrett,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I like that song, though.
Yeah, no, it's a fun song. Yeah, it is good. It is good.
Got arrested on the train.
What?
When?
A couple years ago. He didn't buy a ticket. The train here in Los Angeles is on the honor system. No. You buy a ticket, and if they come and... look for your ticket. A lot of times, I've never been asked for a ticket. I take the train all the time. They came asked for his ticket. He didn't have it. He also had heroin.
Oh. I'm so my heart breaks for him. Mm-hmm. Honestly, when you're a kid and you're caught up in that, like you just don't. I feel for him.
But it goes to my theory: never break two laws at the same time.
Okay.
Always break one. How many times in the movies have they gotten pulled over for an expired tags and then have just killed somebody?
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Laws in the trunk. There's a body in the trunk.
Break
and,
one law.
And they killed that person with heroin. They injected them with heroin.
And that's three laws. Yeah, you're screwed. Really there's bad. No way you're going to get away with that.
Do you want to throw a song out to us?
Sure. I know nothing about... I got to remember what I brought. I know where my playlist here.
You can look here.
Disco right here. Oh, I love this song.
All right.
When she went to sign onto, I think she was an actress. When she went to sign onto her SAG, there was another Amy Stewart.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so she spelled her name A-M-I-I.
Yep.
And this is, I love this song.
It's
absolutely
a great
love
song.
This song. This is a remake also, I believe. Mm-hmm. And this is Knock on Wood.
She's blowing it up right out of the gate.
You're supposed to start at 50 seconds.
You're right. Murray is right. Murray, and this is, look, I am new to the...
No, I understand. I've driven that train before.
Here we go.
I know
ready? Here we go. Right at 50.
Just play that for the rest of the song, if that's okay. If nobody minds, we're just going to listen to the whole thing.
Great song.
The number of times I have roller skated to that song, I cannot even count.
Can you roller skate?
I can still, yeah.
Do you roller blade?
No.
Just trying to figure out how you keep those legs in shape.
Oh, Lord. This is why I'm... Flag on the play. Flag on the play. Line was crossed. This is why I'm here.
Oh,
interesting thing about that song is that's one of, like, that... Can we hear it again real quick?
Yeah.
It's like one of the original sequencer, that Lynn drum machine that's been talked about on the show. This is one of the original uses of this.
And you know, you can tell it doesn't sound like real drums.
Yeah.
I like real drums better.
I do too, but we're in disco.
That's
right
true.
Now, right?
Well, we talked earlier that some of these bands really were playing their instruments, laying down that backbeat.
Yeah. Speaking of, a bunch of boys from Hialeah, Florida. Everybody.
By the way, this was another one that I just removed from my list because I also had this.
Well,
where are they from?
Hialeah, Florida.
Hialeah.
Or as my grandma said, Hialeah.
Okay.
Casey and the Sunshine Band. I picked this particular song because it has the amazing horns, but the bass is sick. All right, this is That's the Way I Like It.
Start it right from the beginning. That's a good call. No, seriously. This or Boogie Shoes for me.
Okay.
But I took this one.
Boogie Shoes.
Yeah. Put on my boogie shoes and boogie with
from
you.
From the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
That's right.
I will, as a child, I have such a clear memory of watching some award show. Mm-hmm. And it was Harry Wayne Casey.
Yeah.
Casey. And Florence Henderson.
Okay.
And I remember her going, what exactly is a booty? And as a kid, I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, he's going to answer it.
Was
and
that maybe the Brady Bunch Variety Hour, one of those
no,
specials?
No, it was an award show. Like they were about to present an award.
Yes.
What exactly is a booty?
Oh, she knows. Florence is a body lady.
Florence had some booty.
Yeah.
Go back and look at it. Go back and look at it.
Florence had that flip hair. Yeah, no one had that except her.
That's the original Rachel
hairstyle.
That's
the original Rachel,
hairstyle that didn't catch on.
I'm not sure if you're going to call. No, this. I think you'll agree that this is a disco song.
Mm.
Is this a disco song to you, Murray?
Yeah, when I looked up lists, it was
one of the top.
It was one of the bands that was influenced by disco.
Like Blondie?
Sometimes. I do like Blondie.
Okay.
I do like
Sometimes
Blondie.
I feel like there's an anti-Blondie thing coming
no,
off of
you. No. It's just that okay. Blondie
you know, the finger
gets,
came out, so there's something.
There was.
Blondie gets tremendously more respect than the Cars do. And I think there's a lot of what, like Blondie was amazing, and I'm not going to deny what she and they and the whole and the songs and her, just the whole vibe. But I just the fact that they get, so, it's so weighted when you
I don't think the Blondie albums as a whole are as strong as the Cars albums, but there are some tracks in there.
They fit into this kind of image and this brand
skinny
and this
ties.
Thing and this, you know, right.
Yeah.
And the cool kids like them and you know,
garbage bag dresses.
Oh, I did that once for Halloween.
Oh, you did?
Doing it right now.
Well, that's true.
and because and Debbie Harry was super hot back then.
Yeah.
Denny Harry?
Denny Harry was hot. Debbie was. Debbie? I said Demi. I think I said
Demi. Okay, Demi Harry.
I'm a dummy.
Yeah. No, she's very special.
Yeah.
I won't deny her anything. But.
Remember when she was on The Muppets?
I don't.
No, what is she doing there?
She sang Heart of Glass and Call Me.
Oh.
With a Muppet band, the Blondie wasn't on. It was just Debbie Harry.
Oh, I
was
love
it?
That.
Was it the Electric Mayhem? Is that who she played?
No, it wasn't Electric Mayhem. Was they constructed some little "quote unquote" new wave punk puppets.
Okay,
or Muppets.
I like that.
And she's like, "This isn't my band." Oh well.
Oh well, I'll do it anyway, just like I did at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh really?
Yeah. Did you ever
I
see?
Know that.
Yeah, look that up online. She when they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all the members of the band were inducted, but she wasn't playing with three of them. She was playing with Clem Burke and Chris Stein, and then the new members. And the one old member said from the microphone after his speech, he asked her, he goes, "Debbie, are you going to let us play with you tonight? I mean, we really want to play." And she goes, "I have a band." It's just like, no way, dude, you're not playing. And the guy, I thought the guy was going to cry. I mean, literally. He put himself out there.
Boo on Debbie, man.
I know.
But seriously. We don't know what happened.
True.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, but I'm like, well, I don't know.
I know.
But yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, it'd have to be some pretty harsh shit to go down.
It's got
to
be, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's got
to
be
side with Debbie.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Am I next?
You are next.
This is Donna Summer from Bad Girls. Now, Giorgio Moroder, you can't talk about disco without talking about this dude.
It's mm-hmm. true.
And so he produced this, but also, and I didn't realize this till recently, that Harold Faltermeyer
really
arranged the, and this was a double album, by the way. And I remember getting it at a department store. I can very clearly remember that. But yeah, he arranged and co-wrote a lot of it. And this is a deep cut because we all know Dim All the Lights and mm-hmm. Bad Girls yeah. and Hot Stuff. This is Our Love.
Sometimes when you're gone, I don't.
I can hear some Axel F in there.
Yeah.
Double album, really?
Yeah, and it's good. I mean,
was
there's
she
some
hot
ballads
stuff at that point.
That it was on that album.
No, but was she like that big?
Yeah.
I kind of
she
said,
was because she
kind of realized
had,
what I was saying when I was saying it. Sorry,
she had that orgasm song.
Mm-hmm. I love to love you, baby.
And then
why is that the orgasm song?
Because there's like 5 minutes where she's just like, yeah.
And by the way, there's like a dozen songs from that period where right. someone like that Sylvester song. If mm-hmm. you get deep into that song, mm-hmm. there's something going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
And then at one part it gets, I guess.
And at what point does she cry? That's what I do.
Then, you know what? I'm just going to, because I had two Donna good. Summer songs. So let's just give her, because it's Rock and Peace, Donna Summer. And she's no longer with us. So let's just quick hear a little bit of both of these real quick.
Yes.
Because they're all great.
Mm-hmm.
How many songs couldn't she sing after she became a Jehovah's Witness? There's quite a few she couldn't.
Yeah.
Her voice is so strong.
So strong.
And let's go into Bad Girls. Hookers.
Yeah.
Talking about bad girls.
Ladies of the evening.
See them out on the street at night. Walking. Picking up all kinds
I love
of
that.
Strangers.
And the price is right.
You can't score if your pocket's tight. But you want a good time. You ask yourself.
So that's a little Donna Summer chunk because she was the queen of disco.
I mean, will not ask my Donna Summer question every time. Isn't she the one who went crazy?
No, you always say that.
I always ask that. And I'm like, I'm
going to
go home and I'm going to look it up, who I'm thinking of. And I never do. And I never remember until
always,
it comes
every
up.
Every time we talk about Donna Summer, he goes, she went nuts, right? And we're like, I don't know.
I've never heard that at all.
I don't know who I'm thinking of.
I really
don't know who I'm thinking
think
of.
So.
Okay.
You might be thinking about Margot Kidder.
No.
Anne Heche?
Yeah, no, she was definitely a singer.
John Corbett?
Oh, he just followed me on Twitter.
Oh, don't even. You guys, I really have to get to the bottom of this because it's just eating me alive.
Chrissy, we'll let you go and then we'll go to Murray.
But let's. How many are we going to, because we could go on forever. How many?
I have two. He has two. You have one, two, three, four, five. You have five.
I have five. I can eliminate, but I just need to know now.
Don't eliminate.
All right.
We've only been recording for an hour and 7 minutes. It feels longer because the first
the first show
was blocked out. So we're still good.
All right.
Unless you have to be somewhere?
No.
Okay.
We're going to the beach later, but you know what?
Which beach?
Laguna.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's a trek. You going to hit some traffic?
Sure.
Why do you get down to Laguna, man?
Well, because my husband gets a rate at this great hotel
oh,
there.
Done. Oh,
perfect. You guys spend the night?
He is the king. And here's why I know we'll always
be
together,
y'all. I didn't know you were spending the night. I thought you were just going
oh,
for
no,
the
no,
day.
No, no, no. Here's why I know my husband and I will never break up. Mm-hmm. Because he...
Did you hear that, David Wilde?
He is the king of the hotel upgrade.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. How's he
doing? I actually have told him that you should write a book about... But what he does, like, we'll roll in. He'll tell me to go sit because I can't be there. Like,
right.
Because it makes you nervous.
It makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Because I'm very much like, is this, you're giving me this, you know, room by the basement? Okay. Yeah. But I'll go and sit, and then he'll do his thing, mm-hmm. and then we will get insanity. Like, we have gotten the room with the piano in it before that we did not pay.
Wow.
Because
amazing.
We're, you know, we don't. It,
the
but
piano room.
The piano room we've gotten at a hotel once. So he knows this guy. We get a rate. I mean, because we would not be able to afford to go to this hotel.
Did you play the piano? I know you don't need it, but did you?
Oh, I put Johnny behind it and took a picture. Yeah, no, I mean,
sure,
you know.
Of course.
Okay. Anyway. So go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
So anyway, that's where we're going. We're going to.
Nice. How long do you stay down there?
A couple days usually.
Oh, cool.
And they have a kids club.
Excellent.
Like, bye-bye.
Oh, that's great. So you can just...
Oh. And then dump him off. Give him some pancakes and a grilled cheese.
Get a little alcohol flowing.
Sure.
What do you drink? Are you a wine woman? You sound like a wine lady.
I'm a white wino. I'm a white wino. I will drink red.
Uh-huh. I like white wine too. Red gives me heartburn.
I only like Pinot Grigio.
Me when it comes too. To white. Oh, that's my favorite. Like Sauv Blanc is a little too dry, and then Chardonnay is
a little too
buttery.
Girl.
Yeah.
And what does Gary drink?
He likes what he calls vodka martinis, but it's really just vodka and ice.
Gary, my man.
And
that's
ice.
Been my drink now, lately.
Let me ask you something. How many
the martini? Okay.
Yes.
How many drinks until a Christy Stratton? How many glasses of wine until you're incapacitated?
Oh, I never get like I know my.
But I mean, where's your cutoff? Like three?
At about three is when I'll just be like, I'm good.
If I do one more, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, but I
is that how many
just...
you're going to make her drink, Pat?
No,
when you
not,
get her
no,
creepy
just curious.
Guy,
I'm curious.
Creeping up on her again.
Not creeping up.
How
on
many
her.
Drinks is it going to take for the moo-moo to fly up? Is that what you're asking?
Could you take this pill and tell Gary to put it in your drink at the third?
I've never been roofied. Should I be offended?
Well, no. I think that's because you were a cautious lady.
Nah.
And then how many of these martinis can Gary have?
He doesn't drink. Like, in other words, he'll always kind of be. Just
I like that. I like she's like moving her hand around, like
a couple, just you know, on the bedside table while we're watching, you know, episodes or something
of Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Yeah, he didn't like the therapist episode. Hang in there with it.
Just because TV came up in my head. Are you watching that? I forget what the name of it. Just watched it last night. That Billy Eichner show.
Yes.
On Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that?
I think they need a seasoned showrunner to just help their storytelling.
Eichner's got a new show?
Yeah. What's it called?
It's called Difficult People.
Difficult People. Mm-mm. Yeah. Pilar wasn't that hot on it either.
I think there could be something great. I think that, yeah.
All right. I like your take on TV. You're very opinionated. All right, you're up.
By the way, Hulu passed on my digital series, so I'm going to kind of probably hate everything they put on.
Where can we see this now?
Well,
what's
we're
going
now,
on?
Because everyone is like, oh, it's so funny, pass. So we're actually going to advertisers, and immediately people were responsive.
Okay.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's a whole process and a whole, like, we're proposing to these, like, we'll shoot a couple more and incorporate your product, which I got no problem with.
No.
Right, sure.
And then, so we're working on that. And then we'll,
how are you going to incorporate Benoit Balls in these episodes? I am very curious as to see how this is going to go.
Well, it will be a challenge.
Interesting.
But...
I had back when, like, everybody was scared of advertising and didn't know what was going on, I used to land these really kind of weird writing gigs where it would be like, hey, can you write a scene with the guys from The Office that evolve around Coca-Cola? And I'm like, all right. And then they would play it at the end like it was part of the show, but it was really a commercial.
Okay.
So,
and the actors from The Office would be in it?
Yeah, so it's like a scene from The Office, but it's based around Coca-Cola, or one was with Ford, I think, or Honda with...
That's very interesting.
It was really... Because they just didn't want people to turn it off. They wanted to keep going. Because it was right after TiVo blew up. So everybody was just scrolling through. So they're like, oh, if they think it's still...
Interesting.
We could send you to Friedlander in a Honda.
I think that the future is that. Because networks don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're just doubling down on more of the same. Mm-hmm. And these advertisers, they know people are flipping through, and how else to, and I don't have a problem with, you know, I mean, as long as it's organic to the story, mm-hmm. it's, to me, it's harder. One of my producers brought this up, is like, you Greek out things mm-hmm. so much that it's like, we live with products. Products right. are in our lives. Yeah. And anyway, and I got no problem with
Greeking
it.
Out is blurring the logo.
Oh, yeah.
I like it if you do it organically, or if you just full on break the wall. Just
oh,
do
like 30 Rock did.
Or even Wayne's World did it first.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
right. Wayne's World did it when he's going down the craft service uh-huh. table. Yeah, hysterical.
That's great.
My first writing job in town, the executive producer said, "You're only here to fill the space between commercials. That's wow. all television is."
No. Yeah, it really is. And yeah.
But not anymore, really. It's different now. It's getting different.
Well, yeah. It's
so
yeah.
kids listening at home. Christy wrote and directed and filmed. It's five episodes or six.
Five.
These have been in the can. They're ready to go.
A long time. Yeah.
They've been ready to go, and she's still shopping it out there. So don't think you're going to come out here and immediately fall into something, and it's going to just happen.
Christy's, it may.
It could.
Some stories may be shorter than mine, but yes. mine's a long, long story.
you've got named talent in this.
I do.
Yeah. Johnny Mann appears.
He does.
He's eating a pancake and a grilled cheese.
Did you see him? Did I show it to you?
No, you just told me that's what they're going to give him down
the
Laguna.
The problem is you got John Corbett bagging on it the whole time.
Yeah. He hates it.
Do not.
He does maybe not
that's,
like it.
Maybe because, I don't know it. What. All right.
Christy, you're up with...
Yes, I am. Do you have I Can't Stand the Rain? Is that...
Yep,
you have
that's
that
up? Yeah.
Okay. Eruption.
The artist is Eruption.
Yeah.
I don't think I know this.
I don't either.
It's a good one.
Let's hear it. No, I do not know this at all. I can't stand the rain. Still don't know it.
Against my window. Bringing back sweet memories.
Nothing about any of that.
How do you know that song?
Because cool,
I've never heard it.
It's just been in my iTunes forever.
Where? How did you? I mean, it didn't. Did they pull a U2 and did they put it right in your iTunes without you knowing?
No, I don't remember how I. And I even looked it up, and it doesn't.
Probably about three Pinot Grigios in one night.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, I remember that song. Bye. Oh, I do it all
that's
the time.
That's funny. I don't know that one at all, and I don't know that I'm going to know the next one that you're going to play either, Murray.
Ooh.
Oh, I guess you're telling me which one I'm going to play, but I know which one it is, so I'll
play
it.
Well, they're in order.
Okay, so I'll play it.
And I queued it up this time.
Where is it? Oh, this is by Patrick Hernandez. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about him. This is, I love this song. It's Born to Be Alive.
Ah, another roller skating song.
I have heard this.
Love
I like
it.
That little boogie guitar right there.
Love it.
I know nothing about
that's
that.
That's a good tune. I don't know anything about
but
it
it's
either.
A good song.
I've heard it before. I know that. what's my next one? See, let me see if Christy has this one. No, it's the same. We have the band.
Mm.
And we have the same, the last song on our list is the same, so that's definitely the playout song.
Okay.
Because those guys are the kings of disco.
Oh,
but you know,
I have lots to say about
that. I know you do. But you know what? I'm not going to play my song. I'm going to go with another lady. Maybe I'll go with this one, but I'm going to go with this one because this will cause some discussion.
Oh.
Because I don't know if you'll consider this a disco song or not.
It's Bill Cosby, and he recorded. No.
Here we go.
Her name was Lola. She was
all right.
Showgirl.
I don't see why not.
With yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down her ass. She was
my favorite one.
And do the cha-cha. And while she tried to be a star, Tony always tended bar across the crowded floor. They worked from 8 till 4. They were young and they had each other. Who could ask?
Here's where it gets discoy, I think. So it's definitely a dance song. Would you put it in there?
I don't think Studio 54 would play it, but I do think it would be. It's technically falls under that whatever it says.
The umbrella of the beats,
sure.
And the whatever.
Around that time, I just moved to New Jersey, and you know, I'm still under the fresh pressure and thumb of my preacher father, so I wasn't allowed to listen to music and stuff. But we would go to the Italian restaurant, the pizza joint, which is all red velvet. You know, and this song was played heavily, Grease is the Word.
Uh-huh.
So every time I hear any of those songs, I go right back to Dioro's Pizza on Route 46, long gone.
Did anyone bring Disco Duck by Rick Dees?
I almost did because it came up on the 70s station.
I thought you would. I honestly thought you would. And I wanted... Oh, my goodness.
How in the world could I keep my seat?
Thank you, YouTube. I'm not buying this. So bad.
I was on the dance floor acting strange.
Like, why is this bad and weird all good?
Because this is bad.
Okay. I mean, because I agree, but I can't tell you where that line is. I wouldn't argue that. All right. Is it me or
yes,
is it Murray?
No, okay. It's you.
All right. I want to start the discussion
mm-hmm.
about the brothers.
Give. Oh, I thought this was going to be Roe v. Wade.
No.
Okay.
And of course, Robert Stigwood.
I thought we were
going to
talk the brothers, miniseries on HBO.
No.
The brothers Johnson?
No.
Okay.
The brothers Grimm.
Close.
Okay. Ooh, that's closer, I think.
Okay.
The Bee Gees, the brothers Gibb.
I'm surprised we got this far.
I know. I kind of was like, all right, I'm, okay. This song that I'm going to play, mm-hmm. You Should Be Dancing,
mm-hmm.
is the song that is played in the movie Saturday Night Fever. When he does his dance,
mm-hmm.
and it was originally from Children of the World, and they put it in this. So let's.
I thought you were gonna say Children of the Corn.
Yeah, no.
Crossed the line.
I have not seen this movie in forever.
It holds up.
It does. Okay.
I have not seen this movie.
Honey.
Perfect timing for you to watch it.
And have. I mean, I probably listen to that song every other day of my life. But that movie still holds up. There is one little asterisk.
Okay.
There's a scene in it
mm-hmm.
that watching it today
mm-hmm.
ruins Tony Manero's character. But back then was not, I'm not going to say because I don't, Murray, for people who haven't seen it, and Murray, you've got to see it. It holds up. Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I do.
You can. It's not going.
Is Donna Pascow in the scene?
Yes.
Okay.
It ruins his character,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was just making a point about what was kind of going on,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's hard to come back from that. And number two, there is a terribly shot fight scene. It is just terrible. They were trying to do some kind of stylized thing.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Other than that, that movie holds up so rock solid. And there's a scene, that particular song was played, where he kind of does the stance by himself on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And I think I saw on one of those shows John Travolta talking about it. And he, the original cut was all in close-up. And he's like, I didn't do all, like, train for however X number of weeks for you just to show this in close-up. Right. And so it's shot, I mean, you, it's in a wide when you see the movie, but at that movie, it's good. It's a good movie.
I'd love to see. I will not have to talk my wife into seeing it. She loves it. She loves the disco era. She loves to dance. She loves the nightlife.
It's gritty.
She loves the
boogie. It's like that music is so sheen and, mm-hmm. you know, produced, but the movie is very gritty and very... And anyway,
so
good.
The movie was so popular that they re-edited back then a PG version
because
it was an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Mom dragged me to that because I'm like, I want to see it, and she wouldn't let me. And then when that was we were
wonder
there.
What they cut out of it? Probably swearing
or that scene.
That scene.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Can I have two songs?
What do you mean? Can you? Have
I forgot.
Two songs?
I wanted to bring one that I forgot.
Where am I going to get that song from?
I just brought it up on YouTube because it's not on my. It's not on this iTunes. It's on my home iTunes.
All right. So what? Which one do you want to play next? The one you just brought up?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me.
I'm gonna call this. I'm gonna invent a new genre.
That's me.
Okay.
That's me. That's what I'm just trying to sing over it so people don't hear it.
Modern disco.
Modern disco.
Okay. I'm gonna call Scissor Sisters.
That's what I'm playing.
Oh, yay!
Tell me when.
Right now.
I've actually played this song on this show.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I believe it's.
Is this I Don't Feel Like Dancing?
Uh-huh.
Christy played this on October 8th, 2014.
Great is a song, man. All right, that's going on my treadmill run list for this week, man. I just what made me think of it is that my wife and I danced at this club in New York to that. Somebody had like the 12-inch remix, 20-minute version of that, and we danced at like 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk, just danced to that forever. It was great.
It's a great and co-written by Elton John.
Oh,
is that true?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
This is how little I know about the Scissor Sisters. I didn't know what a Scissor Sister was, and I didn't know they were all gay.
And Elton John does not write lyrics, so he obviously was writing music.
Right.
All right. Good. Well, fantastic. Good job.
Love that song.
Thank you. What did you think of that, Christy? And I love that song. Pat?
That's a good. If you would have told me, if you would have made up a band and said this is a disco song, I wouldn't have known it was a song from 2008. I would have thought it was a real disco song.
Do you know what a Scissor Sister is?
Yeah, it's from the album Ta-Da.
But you know what a Scissor Sister is?
Is this what we're talking about? Yeah,
it's dirty.
And they were hairdressers.
They're hairdressers.
Oh, yeah, they were Flock of Seagulls.
The first album, they have a song called Laura, and he says, this will be the last time I ever do your hair. sometimes facts just but I do believe they were also, some of them have that background.
So it was obvious that that had to be the, the title of the band.
Right.
Yeah.
Flock of Seagulls were also hairdressers.
The lead guy was. Yeah. Mike Score.
And they practice in the studio, in the hairdressing studio.
Oh, neat. I just did a Kevin Costner. Oh, neat. You can't have a disco show themed episode without playing these knuckleheads. The worst lyrics ever. So bad. Sign up for the big band or sit in the grandstand when your team and others meet. In the Navy, yes, you can sail the seven seas. In the Navy, yes, you can put your mind at ease. In the Navy, come on now, people, make a stand. In the Navy,
Somebody got to the chant.
Obviously, YMCA is maybe the more popular song, but I wanted to play this because they played Ocean. They sang Oceanography. In
the lyrics.
I've put those two neck and neck.
Those are only two hits, right? They might have.
They had more.
I mean, like solid hits. Like my mom would know those.
Well, yeah.
Wait. There were more than that.
Let me look it up.
I'm not talking after they sold out and one became a spaceman. I'm talking original Village People.
And I had, by the way, as a child, I had no idea that they were like what that they were gay or that was the whole thing.
They were in costumes. Like Kiss would be in costumes.
Right.
Let me see. Macho Man only went to number.
Macho Man went to number 25.
And then YMCA went to number 2. In the Navy went to number 3.
Right, neck and neck.
And then Go West.
Yeah.
45. Ready for the 80s. 52.
I don't know that one.
Can't Stop the Music. Didn't chart. And then they were done.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're pretty much done.
I forgot Macho Man was the other.
Yeah, Macho Man.
I'm surprised that only went that far.
Only went to 25. Number 3 in Australia. And 7 in New Zealand. So very big down under.
Very big down under.
All right. How many more? Really, how many should I? I've got
I'm sorry,
three.
Before we move on, I just looked up the Scissor Sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could not find out if they were hairdressers or not. But in 2004, Bono called them the best pop group in the world.
Wow.
I'm going to have to give them another listen.
Mm-hmm. You have three more, and the last one's more. the last one's going to be our playoff song.
Should I cut one then?
If you want to cut one, but you don't have.
Well, I mean,
we're at 1:30, but I'm going to I got to trim a little bit.
Okay.
I got to trim all the junk.
Why don't I
stuff.
Do one more?
Okay, and I'll do one more.
And then we'll do the one together.
Yes.
Or but play the
I have one more. I have one more.
You do one more. One more, and then the playout.
And play then out. The playout. Okay.
Wait, you guys put together a playout?
Like, we have
the same
one.
Oh, great.
We have the
awesome.
Same song that ends our list, so that's got to be the playout.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, so which one are you going to go with?
Number 11, We Are Family, Sister Sledge.
Let's do it. Apologies to Anita Ward for Ring My Bell.
Nile Rodgers on that as well. Bernard Edwards. I thought you were turning it down. I want to keep going.
Okay. You tell me when.
Can they be that close? Just let me stay for the record. We're giving love in a family dose.
I like that rhyme. Can't we be that close? We're giving love in a family dose. Love it.
Now, it's like this genre gets shit on. A lot.
Yes.
But then you throw Get Lucky by Daft Punk up next to this, which Nile Rodgers wrote and produced.
Uh-huh.
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
But these guys aren't wearing shaded motorcycle helmets.
No. They're sisters, man.
Yeah.
And there really are.
Yeah.
Four sisters.
Yeah.
With a certain
last
Sledge.
Name?
Sledge. There's no scissoring of any type going on. No, not with these sisters. So your next song, I had the original version on my list, but I won't play it because you're going to play this.
Okay, this version. Next song is a I would say a disco staple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if
definitely.
You would.
Okay.
But it was, I wouldn't say it was turned on its ear, but it was redone by an Australian new wave band called Pseudo Echo.
Let's not say the title. Let's just play.
Okay.
Okay.
Move and keep on grooving with some energy.
Hold on, we need to get to the chorus.
And Murray, how was I singing this before Christy got here?
I don't speak that way in front of a woman. Maybe you, Captain singing, Captain Sexual Harassment over here, would like to tell her what you're singing.
Well, you take me to that fucking town. That's what I was singing.
Oh.
Yeah. How's that? Okay. It's nice. Do you use the F word?
All the time.
Okay.
All the time.
But then here you're a little bit more demure.
A little bit.
Why
more.
Is that, I wonder?
I don't know. Maybe the role I play here is one that's...
We all
not
have our,
so angry.
Maybe Gary brings out the inner demon
yeah.
in her.
Oh boy, just like that, like
that's
that.
little Johnny, I hear he can really push some buttons.
Oh boy,
Johnny,
that kid's
oh, buttons. Boy.
That kid's amazing.
Problem child three is what I'm saying.
We apologies to Lips Inc. who did the original version of Funky Town, and apologies to McFadden and Whitehead. Ain't no stopping us.
Oh
now.
Yeah, I love that song. I love that song.
Because I'm not going to play that because my last one is going to be from. Another lady who deserves to be heard in the disco era. And let's hear a little bit of the boss, Diana Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Round and round, upside down. Boy, you turn me inside out. And round and round. Instinctively, you give to me the love that I need. I cherish the moment. Respectfully, I say to thee, I'm aware that you're cheating when no one makes me feel like you do. Upside down, boy, you turn me inside out and round and round. Upside down.
Great song.
She's the one who went nuts.
I don't know about that.
Diana Ross?
Yeah,
no,
right?
I don't think
Hallofcrazywomen.com, Diana Ross.
How old do you think Diana Ross is?
Oh, did she die?
No, she's alive.
I'm getting all these women confused.
60s?
No.
70s?
Yeah, early though. 71.
Okay.
It's amazing though. Is she one of these? Has she done like a residency in Vegas? She seems like one of those artists who would do that residency.
I think she's taking money baths. Like, I think she does not need the cashola at all.
You know, if Gary upgrades your room this weekend, maybe you can get the money bath.
Oh,
I would love to know what he's... Now, wonder what he's saying at that desk. I wonder what he's saying.
I don't know.
Is he raising his voice?
He's not raising his voice. He's just being New York on them.
He's negotiating.
So, yeah, his Queens comes out when he's kind of...
Oh, I didn't know he's from Queens.
Yeah, and he gets a little, like, he kids, but, you know, like, hey, we come here all the... And it's always our anniversary. That's another thing. As I do not like to lie about that shit, and it's always our anniversary.
You do not lie. I don't think you cannot tell a lie.
Mm-mm.
I agree with you.
Mm-mm.
That is amazing.
But, all right.
Not even a white lie to Johnny. Little white.
Yes, you know what I do to Johnny is like he'll be sitting in front of him and I'll be in the kitchen eating M&Ms. Like I don't share my cookies with him. I don't
because it's
I'll
not
be like,
good.
Mommy,
it's,
your breath smells like chocolate.
Because kids don't need all that sugar.
No.
And when they're out of the house, they can eat as much Cocoa Puffs as they want.
And
but while you're monitoring it, you have to keep it in check.
And there's nothing that goes better with a nice Pinot Grigio than a nice chocolate chip cookie. Nothing.
So he'll say. So when he says your breath smells like chocolate, what do you say?
I said, yeah.
Well, that's not really a white lie. She can't even tell a white lie.
The deception is what it is. Okay. I'm secretly behind my Us Weekly while he's watching Jungle Book.
I think you're just keeping him from bad habits at an early age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I have a 3-year-old. He's going to eat a lot of sugar and sweets in his lifetime.
Oh my God,
as long as I can control it. You know, now we've let some stuff creep in, but for the longest time.
Murray, where can we find you on Twitter?
At Murray V on Twitter. I'm hitting the road in the fall, so dates will be coming up then.
You have the Road Stories podcast.
Road Stories podcast at roadstories.tv.
You're getting all new equipment over there, so it's going to sound even better.
Yeah, yeah.
Same guests, new equipment.
New guests and new equipment.
New guests and new equipment.
And possibly same a new platform. I can't talk about that right now.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. Oh, okay.
And my album,
like
Rusty
a platform
Cow.
That you stand on when you do it? Like
yeah,
that kind
yeah,
of platform?
Yeah, I'm building okay. it, but I'm not good with my hands.
And okay. your album is Rusty Cow. The album Rusty Cow is available on iTunes.
iTunes, Amazon, my website.
If they ordered from your website, do they get a copy autographed by you?
Autographed copy. Yeah, yeah. Excellent. And if you're in India, I don't know if we discussed this. It's for sale in India. That was the first place it was distributed.
In India?
In India.
How's it cool. doing? How's it doing there?
Queen is selling me out. Nobody's buying it. They only want to listen to Queen.
Wait a minute. Queen, the band Queen, has a comedy album.
Have you heard the later albums?
I love all of Queen.
I say that because Queen was the only band that could be played in India for a while.
Why is that?
Freddie Mercury was Indian.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Farooq Balzari or something is
close
his real
enough.
Name?
Yeah.
Christy, again, tell us the name of your web series that we'll eventually see.
Well, it's called Everyone's Crazy But Us, and right. you can't see it anywhere.
No.
You can. I put a thing up on Facebook. You can buy the merch. Some merch together.
What about you throw together a little trailer of this thing that we could see?
I know.
Like
maybe
a 30-second, 45-second teaser
right.
trailer.
It's so good, y'all. And but whatever. The and I'm on Twitter, but you know what? Just if you're on Team Corbett, then don't follow me.
I'm going to implore everyone to tweet at John Corbett,
no, don't,
demanding
don't.
that he unblock Christy Stratton.
I just want to know why. I just
want to
know why.
Or just come clean, John. Say why.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
I would love to know that reason.
But I get to talk now, though, right? I have a lot of things to say.
We have a lot of stuff
this.
To say. I'm just
all
getting
right.
this out of the way right now, okay. so then we can talk right. about the Brothers Gibb,
okay.
and we can do our playout song.
We haven't okay. talked about the
no,
no.
These,
oh, honey.
These are the guys. These are you think disco? I think that's the first Donna Summer and the Bee Gees are the first people you think of.
Absolutely.
We are at Rock Solid Show on Twitter, Pat_Francis, at Kyle.SonFunny. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com to read Andrew Rich's excellent show notes. The kid puts his own humor into it. He also, if there's a song, like he'll put up clips of disco songs that he likes that we didn't do. He always adds his favorite songs.
Yeah, get your own podcast, Andrew. Get your own podcast.
He
buddy.
Does that. He's not going to do the notes anymore. So listen,
are you kidding? He loves it. What else has he got to do with this?
Buy a shirt. You know, donate. Whatever you want to do. There's a donation button. We appreciate you listening. Love
donate
it.
Enough. To where you get a shirt.
Well, just buy a shirt.
Why not? Well, just if you're going to give money, get something in return.
Yeah, get something. Yeah, I agree with you. We have a premium episode that's available for $1.99. And if you donate $20 or more, you get the Live at the Rock Solid Studios CD. So, you know, you can.
If you donate $25, you can get a t-shirt.
Yeah, but you'll have to do that at the t-shirt site.
It's fine.
A story merchandise.
That's fine.
Yeah, whatever. I
all of the thing is, all of this is a tax write-off.
Yeah, I don't
so
want you
just write off.
I don't want you to just throw money at me. Get a. Although someone did donate $5 last week because that's probably what they could afford, and I was happy to have it.
Sure.
All right, Christy.
Okay.
Hi.
Now can I? Okay.
The Brothers Gibb.
I want to talk a little bit more about Saturday Night Fever as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
It was based on an article in New York Magazine called "Tribal Rights of a New Saturday Night" by a writer named Nick Cohn, who has later said he fabricated it.
Ooh.
And Robert Stigwood, when they were first kind of putting it together, came to the Bee Gees, came to Barry, I'm assuming,
okay.
and said, we need some music for this. And apparently, John Travolta has said that, like, at the time, like, he was dancing to, like, Boz Scaggs and stuff.
It's hysterical.
And so he's like, well, we can use these. And I've been working on some of these songs because they were going to call the movie, like, Tribal Rights of Another Saturday Night. And he's like, well, we have the song called Night Fever. Why don't you just call it Night Fever? And then, you know, that...
Then they put it all together, Saturday Night Fever,
and,
which is a great name.
It's the best name.
Unbelievable.
And it really, it's such a, and by the way, and I get so defensive about them because I think that people like dismiss the Bee Gees and they don't look at them like they look at a lot of the, you know, bands have endured and songwriters that have kind of, and these guys had like several different comebacks in their careers, like three or four, like this was like their third comeback.
Yeah, I was going to say they weren't originally disco.
No,
people.
They were like, you know, like 60s. They had some pop, you know, kind of stuff that was a little more flowery and whatever. And then they had their first comeback was the How Can You Mend a Broken Heart and Run to Me and that kind of stuff. And so anyway, so they gave them these songs and it fits so perfectly. And I think, and there was one point in 1978 when Barry Gibb and or the Bee Gees had written or written and performed like 7 of the top 10. I couldn't find that particular week, but it was like How Deep Is Your Love, Night Fever, Staying Alive. And then Andy Gibb has Love Is Thicker Than Water. And If I Can't Have You by Yvonne Elliman was from that record.
Yep.
And I don't know if Grease was during that time. I couldn't find that one week when it was like 7 of them. I mean, it's nuts. And I did read this factoid.
Was there maybe a Barbara Streisand song up there?
I don't know if that goes that far back, because Guilty, that was like 80.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But Barry Gibb is the only person in history to write 4 successive number one singles.
That's amazing.
Right?
Pretty impressive.
At the time, like Night Fever was the big one that was like spent a year at number one. But this song that we both picked, Staying Alive, is to me like one of the most iconic like songs ever recorded. And long after we're all dead, this song will survive. And I think its message, its theme, it's just the whole, everything about the song is as good as it gets.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Murray. Here we go.